Hello, and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show, coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is a former White House news correspondent and author of Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel, William Koenig. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall and Mondo De La Vega. And now, live from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, here's your host, Ricky Baker.
Hello, you're watching Jim Baker's PTL Television Network. We are excited you chose to tune in with us today. You're not going to want to miss this. We have a very exciting guest, as you heard in the announcement. This is someone who is a critical voice in this generation.
Amen.
We want to keep you on the hook while we talk about some other things. This is going to be a show you're not going to want to miss. Mondo. Turbulent times we're living in. 2024. Would you have ever thought this is what the world would be looking like right now?
Yes and no. Yes, because Dad and I and the whole team, we have been studying the book of Revelations, Matthew 24.
Right.
We knew this day was coming, but we didn't think it was going to accelerate to where it is today.
That's right.
You know, one thing is studying the word. Another thing is watching the word play out right before your eyes. And we just got off the phone with Dad, your
friend,
Jim Baker.
Yes.
He sends his love. Keep praying for him. But he is very concerned about the state of the universities here in America. And he said, don't stop telling people to pray for this nation.
Amen.
Don't stop talking about the truth. And I can tell you that we are in the book of Revelation. And to see it play out, Ricky, it's kind of shocking because we're here.
That's right.
We're there. We're at the very moment that America has to decide what side are we going to stand on.
Yeah.
And the world, we know where they're standing. We know what their belief is. We know what their agenda is. But every time America touches Israel in a way that is not supposed to be, something always happens to America.
That's right.
And yet, it's like we're not waking up, guys.
Yeah. That's right. It's like we're not waking up. That's the truth. You know, I had a dream, and I'm going to share it at some point, but it is important for us as believers. It's important, you, pastor who's watching, you, deacon, you, door greeter at your church, that you are wide awake to what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you right now. There is revelation that is happening right in front of our eyes, yet people are still covering their eyes, pretending like it's not happening. It is booming sounds around our ears, and yet people are still covering their ears, saying that they can't hear anything. Believer, we must be vigilant and we must be bold to proclaim the whole truth of what is happening around us right now.
Right.
It is a vital time and a vital hour. You know, Mondo, for a decade plus now, we have heard the alarms sound off over and over and over again about foreign countries having the possibility to have achieved the equipment to use an EMP on America. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like people are wanting to put that on the back burner, like it's not something important.
No, absolutely. And that's why here on the Jim Baker Show, the PTL Network, we love to highlight different items that can help you understand how to protect, how to prepare, but also how to equip yourself, your family, your organization, your ministry. Because, Ricky, we are watching the world, the nations, the leaders are hungry to hurt America in so many different ways. Cyber attacks are happening, yet they're not talking about it.
That's right.
They're not talking about the power of EMP hitting America in ways that we're not prepared. But this program, this ministry has been sounding the alarm. And I want to tell you something. The alarms always sound different.
There are different
types of alarm. Just because you hear an alarm doesn't mean that you have to be in fear and frantic. No, there's different types of alarms that we must pay attention to. And if we don't understand and how to distinguish different sounds, we're going to be caught unaware.
That's right. You know, for a small percentage of the amount that we have sent in foreign aid just these last few years, we could have fixed our current grid here in America, which is at a critical state, Mondo. I know you study this, but we are at a truly critical state with our grid here in America. And we could have had this fixed, this issue fixed, but it seems like politicians aren't wanting to vote that into place
to
fix it.
The experts are saying, Ricky, that we are one event away from losing the grid.
Wow, our power grid here in America.
Here in America.
Right.
We are so fragile, yet we're not understanding that we are one event. I'm not just talking about, you know, nations invading and hitting us. I'm talking about a tornado. And by the way, pray for the areas that have been hit very hard.
Jeez. On April 26th.
That's right. We're watching unprecedented events taking place, yet our power grid is not being tended to. We're not paying attention. We've had the foremost voices and people that has said on this program warning us about the state of the EMP, of course, but the state of the grid here in America, and yet we're not prepared. Again, we're sounding the different types of warnings and alarms to help you understand that we are one event from a catastrophe that America will not be able to come back from, Ricky, because it will take several years before we can fix the infrastructure here in America, especially when we are ordering a lot of the supplies that are coming from China.
That's right. And, you know, this isn't a number that we came up with. This is a number that Dr. Peter Vincent Pry came up with. Mondo, what is the percentage of people who he said, not us, who he said would most likely pass away within the first year after an EMP attack?
90%.
90% of America.
Wow.
That is Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, a man who has dedicated his entire life to studying this. That is not an easy number to present, but believer, we have the knowledge, so we must simply give it to you.
Yeah.
If we have the information, we're going to give it to you, whether it's a hard message or not. Mondo, that is why we are so big into preparedness. We want to make sure that you and your family are self-sustainable. It's a biblical principle. Make sure that you can feed your family and that your family can feed your community. Believer, that is going to be one of the biggest things for us as Christians in the end times to have a witnessing tool to say, hey, you know what? The world seems like it's going to chaos, but we have the answer. Come have a meal with us and let's tell you about Jesus. Come get some clothes from us and let's tell you about Jesus. I'm telling you, to be self-sustaining as a Christian is important in the days we're living
in. That's right, Ricky. And, you know, even as you say that, that's shocking for most of us watching. But as you mentioned, you know, for over a decade, Pastor Jim, your friend, he has been warning many times, feeling like, you know, warning in the wilderness. Is anyone listening? Is the church waking up? And I remember that there was times when Dr. Peter Pry would sit here and solemnly share that 90% of the population could be gone.
That's right.
And so you have to wrap your head around, how does something like that happen? Well, when we look at our infrastructure, basic, these are, you don't have to be an expert to realize the basic necessities of life that we depend on for our electricity grid, for the grid of the United States. Your refrigeration's gone. Therefore, you have no food. Your freezers, the basic electricity of heat, if it's hot during the summertime, AC, cooling homes, medication, many depend. If you're diabetic, you depend on insulin that has to be refrigerated. There's very basic levels of understanding that you can easily realize how this scenario could impact many.
That's right.
A great population. And so that's why as a ministry, Pastor Jim, and our family, he taught us, he says, why would we not heed the warnings? Why would
That's
we
right.
not listen? Why would we not be the Noahs? Why would we not be the Josephs who heeded the warning, who heard the voice of the Lord and did something, acted and prepared? And so as we began to look at what are these scenarios, Lord, God began to show us there's witty inventions that would be created to help my church during these times. I look at the 30-year shelf life food that our ministry has been able to offer, and many of our partners have that. When
That's
disaster
right.
hits, they say, thank you. You have called us and said, it was because of the emergency food that my family was taking care of during an emergency event taking place. It's the Seychelles water filtration. It's because a portable water filtration system that if you don't have access to water running through your faucet, if you are able to find a source of water via a lake, via a stream, you could go and take that filtration
That's
system
right.
and have good, clean, drinking water. If the event of the Faraday Defense, we've partnered, it's a brand new affiliate, the Faraday Defense, what they specialize in, and they've given us access to their entire catalog, but they specialize in equipment bags.
That's right.
You can also use, you know, for EMP protection, for your vehicle protection. They have hundreds of products that they are making available to our partners, and that's Faraday Defense, and they specialize in exclusively for EMP protection and how to have that surge impact not affect your vehicle, not affect certain areas.
Cell phones
as well. And so that's what our ministry is about. We're saying, Lord, if there are witty inventions that have been created, God, we have found like-minded believers who we've partnered with, and they're available right now. If you have questions about any of our preparedness products, it really is a one-stop shop. You can go to our website, that's jimbakershow.com. look at it, take a look and see what catalog. Do I need to prepare for my family. And Ricky, they can also, of course, always call our toll-free number. That's 1-888-988-1588. We have amazing staff who have been with us from the very beginning who can help you with your needs as well.
That's right. We want to provide the opportunity for you to go and look at that. So just go scroll. You don't have to do anything today, but I promise you, believer, you would wish you'd done something today if something happens tomorrow. It is vital for us as believers to be the first ones to be prepared. Why? Because the church, Mondo, and we've seen this over and over, where do people go whenever catastrophe happens?
Absolutely.
You know, there's a statistic that said the one of the highest attended church services ever was the Sunday after 9/11 happened. Why? Because people realize, okay, I need a place to be able to anchor myself.
Yes.
And the church beautifully is that place where we can go set ourselves on a firm foundation, understand, you know what, this nation was found on Judeo-Christian values. Our forefathers came here for religious freedom so that they could serve Jesus unashamedly, and we need to get back to our roots in that.
Yeah, you know, the scary thing is that there's a surge of churches closing every year.
That's right.
Between between three to six or 6,000 to 10,000 churches a year are closing. Mm. And I want to tell you something. When the church isn't there, where are people going to go to?
That's right.
Right? You have to raise that question, because the idea of church always being there is not existing anymore. America is about to face a catastrophe of a historic proportion with the collapse of real estate in the next few years.
That's right.
We're watching the warnings take place, yet we're not waking up.
That's right. It's time to wake up, believer, and that's for you and for I. It's not time to bury our head into our pillow and slumber. Friend, it's time to get the message out there. I'm going to read this to you today. It's from Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 4. I want you to follow along with this. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive in Christ, even though we were dead in our trespasses." That's me and you, friend. "For you are saved by grace. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Jesus Christ." Now, this is important. I really want you to grasp what this is about to say. "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. Yeah. It's not from works that no one can boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared ahead of time for us to do." Believer, God knew you'd be born in the year you were born in. He knew you'd be put right in the place where you need to be. Friend, all these people he has surrounded you with are not coincidences. They are simply people you need to start telling about Jesus. If he brings someone into your life and they're not a believer, friend, you need to be out evangelizing to them. The time we're living in is very short. Pastor Jim Baker has been preaching this message since, 1999. He wrote his 31 things that were a pivotal part of what we believe here in this ministry, because they have happened. And you know, a prophet is a prophet because his prophecies come true, and we have seen them one after another come true. But believer, the time is short, and we do believe that we are living in the end times. But that's not a time to be scared. And a lot of people use that as a fear tactic. No, friend, that's not a fear tactic. Amen. That simply means that we are to be emboldened as Christians.
Amen.
We are to stand
that's
up,
right.
rise above, be a royal priesthood, which we have been called to, be a son and daughter, which we've been called to. And Amanda, what we see is that most people just won't accept their identity. You know, when you were in, I love bringing up your book, because whenever you were living the life of gangs in Los Angeles, whenever you were immersed in that, that's who you were. But whenever Jesus picked you and called you out, your identity changed. You no longer identified as the old man. You identified as the new man in Christ Jesus. Therefore, you became who you are today.
That's so powerful. I was just reading Lamentations chapter 2, and God hates the sin. You know,
that's
sometimes
right.
We identify ourselves because of the sin that we have in us. And I identified my life not realizing that I had sin. And a lot of times our identity is connected to the sin that we have and that we carry and that we do. Yet when he comes in and removes the sin, his identity takes over, and then he starts working on you.
Yeah.
And slowly you start taking on the identity of Christ.
Amen.
Listen, a house has to be cleaned daily. That
That's
means
true.
We have to be clean daily so the sin doesn't live there. The sin
Amen.
Doesn't remain there. And the identity that we carry is through Christ Jesus,
Amen.
Not the sin and the identity where we come from. And a lot of times our culture is so tight with the sin and the identity that holds us together. And that's why, Ricky, we're watching a division in this country all because of identity.
That's right.
Yet identity has no foundation. Oh, you're going to get me teaching and preaching, but listen to this. We have to understand God sent his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I keep saying this, not to get even with you, but to get even with the sin that's separating you from God.
Yeah. Amen.
And the identity that he wants to give you to renew your mind. America has to be renewed, has to be restored. There's an identity crisis happening in America, that America is no longer what America used to be. America is not what it's supposed to be, because the identity of America is the sins that America's carrying.
That's right.
And listen, unless America repents.
That's right.
Unless America repents, unless the American church repents. You don't like that.
It's a pivotal part, though.
The church is a fault at a high percentage on why there's an identity issue in our culture today. When you don't know what the church is outside of it, we have a problem. Mm-hmm. American colleges today have an identity issues.
That's right.
There's a problem in American colleges today that are reflecting the sins of this nation. Mm-hmm. Yet God is calling the nations to repent.
Yes.
Amen.
God wants the sin to be out of the nations. Amen. There's nations today that are literally collapsing because of sin. Yet unless you deal with it the same way God had to deal with my life, I had to repent, I had to surrender, I had to find identity in Christ. And in order to do that, I had to learn to let go.
That's right. You must learn to let go. You know, friends, there are institutions in America that are diametrically opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are opposed to what we believe here. But friends, we must never back down from the fullness of the gospel. We must never back down from the message in which we have been given in this book we call the Holy Word, the Holy Scripture. For we believe here at the PTL Television Network that this is inspired by God for us to read. There is no fault in this. And believer, if you believe that there is fault in this, I would urge you to reread it. There is no fault in the Word of God. We must have something to stand our feet down on, a firm foundation, and that is this. We also believe that there's only one way to heaven. Yes. That is Jesus Christ. If somebody is trying to tell you there are multiple ways to heaven, believer, run from that message. That's not true. There's only one way to heaven. It's Jesus Christ. And there's only one reason that we get to go to heaven. And it's because Jesus Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. And that separation in which we have to experience for eternity now vanishes. And we get to spend eternity with our Creator, our Savior, the one in whom our soul longs for, Jesus Christ. Mano, the PTL Television Network, that's what this is all about. The entire purpose of the network was so that we can proclaim the message. Yes, we want to emphasize preparedness. We want you to go and look at everything we have to offer, because preparedness is a pivotal part of this ministry. It's really one of the pillars of our faith here at this ministry that God has given us to stand on. But the salvation of someone's soul, we have always said this, will outweigh far beyond anything else we ever talk about. Yes. We can bring you good information, and we will. We can bring you the best guest, and we will. But the salvation of your soul, to make sure you are permanently in concrete with Jesus Christ, that is the most important message. So believer, if you're not a believer today, or friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's never been easier. Today's the best day to do it. And if you're watching at home and you're saying, well, I've proclaimed Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, but I really don't have an intimate relationship with him, to the point where I fear that if I get to heaven, he would say, get away from me. I never knew you. There's never been a better day to get intimate with the Holy Spirit. There is always room for redemption, and redemption is there for you, friend. You can call us at 1-888-988-1588. If you need someone to walk you through that prayer, we will walk you through that prayer. You can do a prayer request, jimbakershow.com. We have a whole line where if you don't want to talk to somebody because, you know, for any reason, but you want to still have your prayer request seen and prayed for, I love getting those prayer requests. I want to tell you, they come to my email. I see those emails and I get to read them and I get to pray for them. And I absolutely love doing that for you, my friend. So keep sending those. And you know what? The PTL Television Network, we are unashamed of the people we bring. They are the foremost experts of the world. Like a guest we have on today, his name is William Koenig. He's a former White House correspondent from 2001 to 2021, so two decades in this. And he's also the author of the book, Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel. And he publishes all the latest news relevant to Israel and the Middle East on his website, watch.org. William, we want to thank you for being on the broadcast with us today.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Jim. Hey, man, Ricky, appreciate it. Great, great program.
Hey, man, would you give us an update on how you've been since the last time you appeared on this program?
Doing super well. Obviously, you know, with what we do, keeping an eye on Israel and the Middle East is keeping us extremely busy. And it's just an exciting day that we're living. The Lord has blessed me with a spirit-filled wife after the passing of Claudia. And Tanya and I are very focused on Israel, the Middle East. We're developing a new YouTube site, Kingdom Come Broadcast. And we're posting news, and like you guys, like you, Ricky, and also Mondo and Marcella, what a time to be sitting on the front line watching what God has written from Genesis to Revelation play out right before our eyes.
Amen.
That's right. You know, you said something. I really want our partners to watch this, and then I want to get to talking about this subject because there's a lot of deep things. So if you're just tuning in right now, you're watching the PTL Television Network. This is a very important show. You're not going to want to miss this, but I want you to watch this right now.
You know, my book, Eye to Eye, I have documented 127 plus events that have happened when the United States was applying pressure on Israel to divide their covenant land.
I studied every world, every Middle East leader that attempted to conquer the land of Israel, and their untimely and catastrophic deaths. Saddam Hussein, Hafez Assad of Syria, on and on. And then I looked at every Israeli prime minister, those that went along with giving up the land, and then their government would collapse.
President Bush's father started the Land for Peace process in Madrid in October 1991.
At the very moment he's calling on Israel to give up this land, 30-foot waves were crashing into his home in Maine.
Wow.
Bill Clinton had a very difficult 8 years when he was involved in the Land for Peace process. George W. Bush became the president that established the terminology, two states living side by side in peace and security. President George W. Bush was negotiating with Crown Prince Abdullah of Saudi Arabia on a two-state plan that was completed on 9/10. And then 9/11 happened.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt promised the king of Saudi Arabia in a letter, if Israel ever wanted to become a state, he would notify the king. 7 days later, FDR died in office. 7 days, replaced by Harry Truman, who supported the state of Israel, who made sure Israel became a state,
yeah,
and,
right,
and encouraged them.
Harvey happened. That was President Trump's first disaster. That's when his son-in-law was in five Arab countries having secretive meetings on the future peace plan, but we've also had five major hurricanes, Jim, that have all had their names retired. Hurricane Harvey, Irma, Marie, Florence, and Michael have all, these storms during the Trump administration peace efforts that were happening at the very time they were working in the plan have all had their names retired as hurricanes because they were so significant in size.
So on January 28th, 2020, President Trump finally introduced his Peace to Prosperity plan. But that same afternoon, Peter Navarro, one of President Trump's top advisors, said, we've got a coronavirus problem. And this is the same day the plan's being delivered.
Oh, my.
8 weeks later, 3 billion people are locked into their homes throughout the world. But at the same time, it's moving the prophetic ball down the course. And we're moving so much closer to the Lord's return through our American presidents that attempted or supported the division of the state of Israel.
Wow. I have to ask you right away, let's bring it up to date. Is there an eye-to-eye connection in what led to the attacks on October 7th?
I'll tell you what, Mondo. And by the way, your intro was fantastic. You have absolutely nailed it. We are living in unprecedented times, times that we never thought we would live in. And then the bottom line here is the reason for this disruption has been American presidents applying pressure on Israel to divide their covenant land, and also with prime ministers of Israel that have gone along with it. And I document those prime ministers in Israel that were involved in the peace process and how their governments collapsed or how they had very, very difficult times while in office. And on September 22nd, Netanyahu, in his UN General Assembly speech, told the international community, this is a new time of peace. This is a time for Israel and the Arabs to get along, that Israel had the Abraham Accords, and that the Arabs and Jews would be getting along. This would be a new day of hope for the Middle East. It was an incredibly optimistic speech that was given, again, 922 last year. Also, Crown Prince bin Salman of Saudi Arabia, who had been working with Netanyahu on a normalization agreement brokered by the Biden administration between Israel and the Saudis, was on national TV in the United States, also speaking of this incredible new opportunity, new time that was going to create optimism and hope and even an eventual Palestinian state, two-state plan with the Palestinians. 15 days later, October 7th happened. So we had Netanyahu on international TV as the guy that was going to bring peace to the Middle East, as well as Israel, dealing with a war and a conflict after the heinous and horrific battle or the attack of Hamas on October 7th. And as we've seen it, Netanyahu has gone from a hero to a threat to the international community, but he's doing the right thing when it comes to God's covenant land and defending that land. So that's what's happened, Mondo. And life as we know it is changing dramatically and very quickly.
Wow. You know, this is so important because of you, this program or family, Pastor Jim and Lori, have always kept an eye on Israel, but more than that, has kept an eye on world events. Yeah. Anytime there's a historic, and listen to me, anytime you see something historic happening to nations, to America, that behind the scenes, we don't get to hear those talks. Yeah. Unless you're an expert like William, you're not going to understand the behind the scene conversations that are taking place.
That's right.
People flying privately to meet with the Saudis and people doing deals behind the scenes with the Palestinians. We don't know yet. We only see the results on the other right. end. And that's why we bring William Koenig to help us sense on what's happening, Ricky.
That's right. William, I have a question. Can you explain the recent and current pressure on Israel by the Biden administration and its consequences?
Well, it started right after the October 7th event. Within a couple of days, Biden is saying that this is the time to make peace between Israel and the Palestinians, and it will definitely neutralize or give Hamas nothing to fight for. Now, this is absurd. Iran-backed Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis will continue, and a peace deal between Israel and the Palestinians is not going to work. And we also know the God of Israel is not going to allow an Arab state in the biblical heartland of Israel or splitting the city of Jerusalem. So it was a total disconnect. And this was part of the mantra that if only Israel and the Palestinians would make peace, according to Biden, according to the EU and other world leaders, we would have a time of peace. But as we know, based on history, this is not reality.
That's right. And, you know, Iran attacked Israel with 300 projectiles, including 170 attack drones, 120 medium range ballistic missiles and 30 cruise missiles. Now, I want to ask you this. How was Israel protected from this attack?
Well, my wife, Tanya, and I were praying. Matter of fact, on April 12th, the night before the attack, we knew it was a couple of days based on the news and also based on the spirit. And ourselves and others prayed for angelic covering and protection of the state of Israel. God has had that throughout the battles. Israel's had angelic covering and protection. And I think what's so important here, Ricky, is the fact that according to General Kenneth McKenzie, who was in the Middle East, who was also head of CENTCOM, said that Iran was going to do, or their plan was to do, some serious damage with Israel. I mean, with the cruise missiles, the anti-ballistic missiles, and the attack drones, 99% were knocked out of the sky or didn't even leave their launchers. This was unbelievable. And what General McKenzie said, if Iran had to go to war the next day, they threw so much at Israel, they would not have the weapons needed to be successful. And also, according to, I had a meeting in a couple weeks ago in Washington, D.C., pro-Israel and pro-Jewish and Christian leaders were in Washington, and Ambassador Friedman spoke to one of his friends at the Pentagon, and he said, what's the probability of 99% of the weapons being knocked out of the sky? And the general says it's impossible. It's just absolutely impossible to have this kind of success. And Israel did. And also one of the top defense ministers or defense people within Israel who had worked with defense and the developing of these weapons also said, what we developed and designed, it's not possible to have the kind of result we did. So that's what we see, especially is a supernatural intervention by Amen. The God of Israel, angelic support, and also some incredibly effective defense equipment.
Wow. Amen. Amen. You know, we Thank believe God. Here at the PTL Toddlers Network, the Jim Baker Family Show, that Israel is God's people, and we stand with Israel. It's why we even went out of our way to find an affiliate program that made shirts that say, I stand with Israel. I wear them as often as I possibly can. My wife says I have 4 shirts, now I got 5 shirts I wear on a rotation. That is one of the shirts that any chance I can get to wear out in public, I will wear it out in public because I want people to know I stand with Israel. And, you know, I've gotten some snarky looks and some snarky comments about it, but I've also had people come up to me and, you know, stores, and they say, hey, you know what? I appreciate that you're wearing that shirt. It's a good shirt. Thank you for being bold in your faith. But believer, I believe there needs to be more of us that are bold in our faith about where we stand. There's a line that has been drawn in the sand, friend, and you have to choose which side you're going to stand on. I'm telling you, the side that doesn't support Israel, we can see it across our college campuses, Mondo. It is destructive. Yeah. It is getting to the point where we even saw they're wearing Hamas headbands on American soil.
You know, and I got to ask you this, William, because as I'm watching the last few weeks, earthquakes in America, historic tornadoes once again, we're watching things that are unprecedented. I got to ask you this. What could it be a connection with the Eye to Eye book and the events related and connected to trying to divide the land of Israel, and we're seeing the effects in America once again?
Absolutely, Mondo. And we can look back at the summer of 2020 when President Trump's son-in-law, Kushner, was working very actively on the peace process, on this Peace to Prosperity plan that was released on January 28, and also the Abraham Accords. We had a record-setting amount of hurricanes and tropical storms in the summer and into the fall of 2020. And when Kushner was working on the Abraham Accord, we would have major hurricanes, massive hurricanes. And when he was not, it calmed. And one quick note here, on September 15, 2020, at the White House, there's Trump, Netanyahu, and the leader of Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates. They're signing the Abraham Accord down in the southern Gulf Coast. A hurricane named Sally was working its way toward the southern Gulf Coast, and you had on TV the Abraham Accord signing, and in the corner of the screen is this massive hurricane that had developed. And right after the accord was signed, that night, Hurricane Sally came ashore and was a monster, very expensive rain producer. And one of our readers wrote me, says, do you know that Sally, the derivative of Sally, is in Hebrew, is Sarah? So in other words, Hurricane Sarah was slamming in to the southern Gulf Coast right after the Abraham Accords, which is a point and an emphasis, the land of Israel is given to Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, and their descendants, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob's descendants. not the offspring of Hagar and Ishmael. That was incredible. And the point is, according to Colorado State and the University of Pennsylvania last week, this is going to be a record-setting tropical storm and hurricane season. University of Pennsylvania says there will be 33. We've never had that many. Not all of them will hit the U.S. A few of them likely will. But what we're seeing atmospherically, we're seeing floods, we're seeing earthquakes, and we're seeing tornado outbreaks. When the greater the pressure on Israel, the greater the corresponding catastrophe. And what's happening right now, Mondo, is we have an atmospheric disruption. You can feel it. You can sense it. You can watch it. And then to be backed up by these two universities of the severity of what's coming as the Biden administration is working on the possibility of an Israel-Saudi normalization agreement, and the international community, along with the United States, is once again pressuring for a two-state plan. Wow. Between Israel and the Palestinians.
I got to ask you this question. I wasn't planning to ask it, but I have to ask you this. If America in this current administration continues to push for a two-state solution, and if they get it passed, what will happen to America?
Well, you know, we've heard this from other programs ourselves, the Madrid Fault, which is Memphis, close to the Memphis area, 5-6 states immediately. People look, if we force the division of the state of Israel, will we have a major catastrophic earthquake along the Madrid Fault, which we did in the early 1800s? And if we did, it would be devastating. So, you know, we've had the 40th costliest intense hurricanes in U.S. history, 5 of the 7 largest tornado outbreaks in U.S. history, the 2 largest terrorism events in U.S. history, and 1 of the largest quakes in U.S. history that happened at the time we were pressuring Israel to divide their land. So there's a pattern there, Mondo, that could be pointing to something significant. And this administration is going way beyond what other administrations have gone. And if they extend their pressure and force Israel to do things or keep weapons from Israel when they need to have those weapons because of Hezbollah and Iran, God forbid, but anything is possible. And also at the same time, this is opportunities for us to do what we can to pray and intercede for what's happening in Washington and also in Israel.
Yeah, wow. You know, you're absolutely right. And I think right now, as we're talking about this, again, the information is not to lead you into fear. It's to lead you into prayer, to help you understand how do we pray? How do we intervene with what's all the conversations behind the scenes? It's not time to be angry and hate the administration. No, let's pray them out. Let's pray for wisdom. Let's pray for men and women of God that can come in and have the wisdom that we need during this time. Ricky, I don't think it's a time for the church to be divided.
That's right.
It's not time for America to be divided anymore. The signs and the wonders that God has for us during this time is signs of miracles and wonders and things that we have not seen yet. Yet, we have to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name above all names, in the name that has the authority to give life and to take life, in the name that has the power to restore nations and to cripple nations, in the name of Jesus, we pray for this nation to repent. We pray for this church in America to repent. God, we want to be people that can bring unity, people that can bring understanding to what's happening. Father, we pray for the release of miracles, yes, to protect this land, to protect the New Madrid fault line, to protect the West Coast, to protect the gates in our cities, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus for full restoration. And Father, let it begin in the house of God. Yes. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen. That's a good prayer, brother. Thank you for praying that. We need a restoration spirit to sweep across America. But friends, we must remember that we have to repent. We have to do our part, and we must continue to support Israel. Now, William, I want to ask you this question. What would happen if the state of Palestine became a full member of the UN?
Well, it keeps getting defeated, thanks to the United States, especially at the Security Council level. There are obviously a lot of countries that want to see the Palestinians have a position at the United Nations. So I don't know. It could be the Daniel 9:27 covenant. I mean, if there is a two-state agreement, and I've always thought, I don't think there'd be actually any land transferred. It might be contingent, because we do know there eventually is going to be a peace deal. I don't know what would happen, but so far it has stopped. Even the other day, the United States once again said no, the timing is not right for the UN to be, the Palestinians to be part of the UN. But one other note here, this is along the lines of what y'all are talking about, the church monitor just mentioned. We have 100 million people that attend church in America that do not understand the biblical significance of the state of Israel. That's 65% of the U.S. church. The replacement theology part of the church, Protestants and Catholics, that don't understand the significance. We, the evangelicals, 35%, fully understand Genesis to Revelation, the Word of God. And the 27% of the Bible that's prophecies is literal and not allegorical and is true to this day. But I think what's really important to fully understand, and that's 1 billion worldwide. We have a website, Reach. The number 1billion.com. We have 1 billion people worldwide that don't understand the biblical significance of the days we live in. And I was in my meeting a couple weeks ago in D.C. I said, the key is to be born again. Evangelicals are born again, and they understand the biblical significance because the Spirit of God is living within us. And we understand Revelation. From Genesis to Revelation is as significant today as ever, and we're going to see the Messiah's return for his 1,000-year millennial reign, and we're a small minority in the church in America and around the world that even understands that.
Wow. Amen. Wow. You know, are there possible U.S. sanctions and ICC sanctions against Israel and their leaders like Netanyahu and others?
ICC is talking about it right now. They're discussing this, and the United States, thanks to the leadership of Mike Johnson in the House and other leaders in the Senate, Ted Cruz and others, they are telling the International Criminal Court, don't do it. Don't do it. This is not correct, not right, and inappropriate. And it will set a bad precedent for future issues. So again, that's a blessing. You know, there's the Genesis 12:3 blessing and curse in the United States. If they continue to stand up against the International Criminal Court, which the Trump administration did very effectively, they told the International Criminal Court and The Hague, look, anything to do with Israel, you'll be dealing with us too. And that needs to continue. And I commend the leaders of the Senate and the House that are telling the International Criminal Court, don't go there. Don't do that.
That's right. You know, the International Criminal Court is preparing to put out arrest warrants against Netanyahu and others for alleged war crimes. I want to watch this with you, and then I want to get your opinion on this. Let's watch this together.
President Biden has again told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu the White House opposes Israel's planned invasion of the Gazan city of Rafah. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Saudi Arabia for the first leg of a Mideast tour to lobby for a ceasefire in exchange for the release of hostages in Gaza. The website Axios reports the Israeli government has proposed a possible hostage deal with Hamas that includes discussing an end to fighting in exchange for the hostages. Hamas reportedly has no objections to the deal and is sending a delegation to Cairo. While ending the war has been a key Hamas demand, right-wing party members of Israel's governing coalition have threatened to leave if it agrees to what they call a reckless deal. Today, Hamas took credit for launching about 20 rockets from southern Lebanon into northern Israel. The IDF says they were all intercepted. Thousands demonstrated in Tel Aviv Saturday demanding the release of the hostages and the resignation of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his government after a Hamas propaganda video showed two Israeli hostages in captivity. 47-year-old Israeli Omri Miran and Israeli-American Keith Siegel, who said, "I want to tell my family that I love you very much." He then begins to weep during his message. In response, Siegel's family released a video with his wife, herself a former hostage who was released in November, saying, "Keith, I love you. We will fight until you return." 133 hostages remain in captivity after more than 200 days since the Hamas attack.
This is job number one of the government of Israel. Job number one, and they failed dramatically. They should go, all the government.
On the diplomatic front, Israeli media reports the U.S. is trying to prevent the International Criminal Court from issuing arrest warrants against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other Israeli officials for alleged war crimes. Netanyahu posted on X, "Under my leadership, Israel will never accept any attempt by the ICC to undermine its inherent right of self-defense." Unidentified Israeli officials said the charges against Israel's leaders would be for allegedly preventing the delivery of humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip and their military's aggressive response to the October 7th Hamas terror attack.
Wow.
What do you make of all this?
Well, again, Ricky, they're crossing the potential of crossing the red line. The God of Israel will respond. We've seen that in the United States, as talked about and discussed. We've also seen it within the international community. We've seen it in France and Britain and Germany and Russia and other countries that have attempted to get involved in this whole process. And the International Criminal Court, this is absurd. This is absolutely absurd. And this is not going to do anything but create more problems. And again, fortunately, we have members of the Senate and the House that are telling the International Criminal Court, don't do this with Netanyahu and don't even consider it. And I appreciate what Netanyahu said. Look, he has a responsibility of the head of Israel to take care of this problem. And we have a history of problems with Hamas. And also right now, Hezbollah has 150,000 rockets deployed just north of Israel's northern border and 15,000 Iranian missiles that are there and also in Yemen and Iraq. And we hear the leader of the UN every year at the UN General Assembly chastise Israel, talk about the little Satan, the great Satan, the United States. That's not mentioned usually at the UN, but the fact is every year the UN gives him a platform to condemn Israel. And the international platforms that the president of Iran, whether it was Ahmadinejad or Raisi, speaks of the elimination of the state of Israel. This is absolutely absurd for the international community to continue to put pressure on Israel to make peace with people that do not know peace is absurd. And there's a history here. There is not going to be a lasting peace. It's impossible because these nations, or especially the certain Arab groups, are determined to eliminate the state of Israel and funded by the Shiites out of Iran.
Wow. Wow. Does this explain? Let me read this before I ask my question. This is what The Hill put out today. Columbia student lawyers, they are straight out calls for the genocide of Jews. Does this explain the spread of anti-Semitism and the support for Palestine worldwide? I mean, to understand the hate towards the Jewish people and the community in Israel, how do you explain what's going on, William? How do you explain? How do we explain? Because it seems like the message is coming from the UN, yet no wonder colleges and universities are allowing these protesters to take over America's great institutions at one point.
Well, a couple things here. Former Israel ambassador to the U.S., Ron Dermer, told us about 12, 13 years ago, before he was the ambassador, but worked out of the Israeli embassy in Washington, that the anti-Semitic root basically went underground after the horrific Holocaust. But it's going to resurface. And that's what's happened. We are seeing this anti-Semitic spirit resurface in Europe and around the world. And it's also an antichrist spirit. This is rebellious. This is absurdity. And you have some people that are in colleges that are just uninformed of the Israeli-Palestinian issue. And you have others that have an anti-Semitic spirit. And you also have radical Muslims also that are protesting. And we've even heard that there are some pretty significant, I won't even mention his name right now, but there's some significant funding of these campus, of this campus violence around the country. That's a that's totally in opposition to the state of Israel. So they're well-funded, well-organized, at the same time, anti-Semitic, anti-Christ spirit, and also some are just completely uninformed of the real situation that we're dealing with in Israel.
That's right. You know, more college protesters are arrested over the what's happening in Gaza. I want to watch this and want to get your opinion on this.
Tensions spilling over at UCLA as protesters clash on campus.
Back up! Back up!
Demonstrators swarming past security barricades.
Free
dueling rallies facing off. Pro-Palestinian protesters calling for an end to Israel's war in Gaza.
Enough is enough. The violence has to stop. We're here for a ceasefire.
A counter-protest supporting Israel, with some saying pro-Palestinian protests have fueled hate speech.
Do students, Jewish students, feel safe?
Absolutely not. I think what's happening right now is making everyone feel extremely unsafe. We really do fear for our lives and the future.
Across the country this weekend, hundreds arrested or detained for protesting on campuses, from Arizona to Missouri, where 80 people were arrested overnight at Washington University, some now released.
There are people who don't have the choice on whether their life is risked over this or not. If all I have to risk is maybe sitting in a cell for a minute to help that, I will.
At USC Saturday, the school's famed Trojan statue vandalized. And these images overnight show tactical police units surrounding the campus. They were later called off. That stand down despite students returning to the very same area on campus police cleared them from last week. All of this calling many to question the decisions colleges across the country are making about how to handle the protest.
It's a very difficult thing, and this particular political issue is especially hard because they're no good guys. This one's been a real challenge to find the right words, the right choices between freedom of speech and safety for students.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, I have to ask, because if you're watching right now, I know I feel this way. And William, the question that I have is, why is no one stopping this? Where are our leadership? Where's our government? Where's our congressman? Why is no one stopping this? Why is this being tolerated and allowed to go? Obviously, we understand free speech, but here's the thing. When you're calling upon the death to Jews, it's the Jew today. Tomorrow it will be believers. Tomorrow it's going to be Christians. Tomorrow it's going to be the conservatives who think differently. But the question that I keep sitting here saying, I'm like, Lord, where are the maturity of the leadership? Where is the leadership of America?
Well, Marcella, we're, you know, obviously in the United States, about 90-95% of our media is very liberal. And they are not going to allow people to come on typically that will speak strongly against this. Fox will, Newsmax, ourselves, WorldNet Daily, and others will. But we're a small minority of the U.S. media, plus the social networks of TikTok that has been used by the Palestinians in Israel to incite problems. Is a big issue, and also Meta or Facebook, another issue. So the problem is strong voices are not heard, but I do give credit to Governor Abbott, Governor DeSantis,
that's right.
And some of the presidents of the universities are cracking
that's
down
right.
on this. We saw it here in Texas, at University of Texas. I mean, Abbott went right after and stopped it. And we will continue to do so. And that's necessary. That's something we have to do, not allow this kind of violence on college campuses across America. And unfortunately, as we have seen, some of this is provoked by the liberal, secular, humanistic mindset, unfortunately, that controls a lot of universities around the country.
Ando, we are seeing what looks like some would call the deterioration of our college-age kids around America, but there is hope for them because the radical message of Jesus Christ can still penetrate somebody's mind, even if they feel like, hey, I've had my mind made up now, can't it?
I think we need to pray. I think we need to stand on the word. I think we need to also be compassionate during this time. Listen, as the Bible says that where sin abounds, much more grace abounds. Amen. We cannot lose our compassion towards the opposition because then you lose the heart of Christ. They came after him. The Bible says that we are going to be persecuted.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The Bible also talks about don't be in shock when they come against you. Mm-hmm. Listen, we have to walk in the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
We have to understand what the gospel is all about. And understand that we cannot give up on people. We can't give up on this nation. We can't give up on the miracles that God. Listen, if God can transform this ex-gang member and change his heart, why can't he do it for the people that are protesting and the people that want Israel dead? And listen, there's hope for everyone.
That's right.
That's the whole point. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The whole world. I know you don't like that. I know you've been conditioned to love people, you know, with certain conditions. If they take this off and put this on, there's no time for that. We have to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to transform the hearts of men and women for this generation.
That's right.
Will you stand with us? Will you continue to support this ministry? We are going to continue to win souls and preach the gospel and share the hope of Christ and bring you up to date with the news. But one thing we can never do is give up on humanity. Amen. Jesus, as long as we have breath,
yes,
there's still hope.
Amen.
As long as we have breath, there is still hope. Believer, that is a message for you. You know, Mondo, we are taken back to the cross often where we think of the sacrifice Jesus made. One of the things he cried out on the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The men who had pinned him on the cross, he was still asking his Father in heaven, Lord, please do not hold it against them. And believer, the reason Jesus hung on the cross is because of me, and it's because of you. We and our sin is the reason he hung on that cross, but he paid the price for eternity. Believer, you need to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to know him as your personal Lord and Savior. We believe here at this ministry, you need to stand with Israel, God's people. And we want to thank you for supporting this ministry as we stand with Israel, as we continue to bring you great guests like William Koenig. And William, we want to thank you for being on the broadcast with us today.
Thanks, Ricky. God bless you guys. Keep up the good work.
Amen. And as you go about your day today, remember this, that God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye for today. Thank you, William. It was a great show.
Join Jim and Lori Baker every day as they welcome anointed teachers.
Remember that God loves you. He really does.
And the most dynamic personalities from around the world as we share grace and restoration.
Power over the gods. You know, the Bible says, who is like you, O Lord, among
you? You never know who is going to be on The Jim Baker Show.
We would not be able to be here without you. If you want to see more from us and our family, go to watchjimbakershow.com. And as my dad always says, remember, God loves you. He really does.